morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you together on this wonderful Wednesday. Woohoo! I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. How you doing, friends? Well, I'm doing fantastic, and I want to give a shout out and a hello to a bunch of new friends. I had an opportunity to go to a wonderful Patriot celebration last night with amazing women, a group of women who love their country, who love God, who love their families, who are entrepreneurial, and we just had so much fun. And I have to tell you, it was real secret, you know. It was like, you know, we probably shouldn't have been doing it, but we got together, and there is so much power in celebration and celebrating victories and encouraging one another when you get to be together. It's incredible. And so much hope gets stirred up and encouragement. And I'm missing that. I don't know about you. We're so isolated and staying home and away from one another. I was hungering for that. And it was exactly the medicine that I needed last night. And I know I met several new friends, and if they're up early this morning listening, I welcome you to listening into the show. It's going to be a fantastic show today. And, you know, when we talk about Reliable News Talk Radio and part of Good Morning Salem and my desire here, the morning show, is to just help you start out the day with some encouragement. The news of the day and continuing on with all of this stuff we've been dealing with in 2020, right? We just can't hardly wait till 2021 gets here, and we're certainly hope-filled and praying like crazy that 21 is better than 20, right? And my encouragement to you and my hope for this show is to bring that encouragement, to bring some education, to help engage you and not just curse at the darkness and say, these are all the things that are going wrong in the world and oh my, and stay in that place of fear. But my hope is to empower you and I with truth and ways that we can be a part of the solution, right? I don't think I can ever say it enough, and I certainly hope you don't get tired of hearing it, that you and I together, we can really impact our community. We can make a difference. And that thing stirring within you, that thing that you think you should try, I'm telling you to go try it. It could be painting. It could be a lot of different things that you're like, I always wanted to get to it. I'll get around to it. Well, I'm telling you, let's do it. Let's do those things that inspire you and those adventures that you're not sure about. I am saying it's time to be empowered. And then it was interesting because I knew where we were going with the show today. And this video, of course, you know, I've played this John Maxwell and his Maxwell Minutes before. And this came in my email in a timely fashion and came last night. And I want to share it with you today. Listen to this.
Hi, my name is John Maxwell, and welcome today to Minute with Maxwell. I'm excited to bring you this five-part video series on my book, The Leader's Greatest Return, Attracting, Developing, and Multiplying Leaders. I'm also delighted to have at the table today three of my friends. They're certified John Maxwell team members. I've got Macy, John, I've got Shanita. And I'm sharing with them, as I share with you, principles that will help you grow yourself, that will help them grow themselves. And why do we do this? We help you so that you'll turn around and help others. We don't want you to be a dead-end street. Don't stop with Shanita. You just keep on going and pass it on. So are you ready, gang?
Ready.
From chapter 6, I talk about the fact that the greatest leaders aren't necessarily the ones who do the greatest things, but they are the ones who empower others to do great things. I love that quote. And today's Word on Minute with Maxwell is empower. And one of my favorite quotes is from George Patton, who said, "Never tell people how to do things. Tell them what to do, and they will surprise you with their ingenuity." So I want to talk to you about empowering people. And for the three of you here at the table, I want to start here by the fact that there's a type of leader that never empowers people, and that person's insecure. Mm-hmm. I've never known an insecure person that wanted to give power away. They wanted to control it. They wanted to keep it themselves. They're always worried that somebody else, that, oh, John, if I empower you, you maybe do a better job than me, and I could lose my job. And they have a scarcity mindset, and they're very insecure. But when we talk about empowering people, there's an assumption that I make. And I talk about in this chapter, I think this is really kind of a insightful part of empowerment. To empower you, the three of you, to empower you a minute with Maxwell, to empower any person, you have to have power to give away. Mm-hmm. So the very word empower means I've got something of power to give you, Macy. And this is why I tell people all the time, if you're a positional leader, you can't empower anybody. Mm-hmm. Because you have nothing to give. I mean, okay, you want to give them your position. Well, of course you don't want to do that, especially if you're insecure. And so to empower people means that you have more than positional authority. You have credibility as a leader, and you have moral authority. And this is a huge, huge part of empowering people. It's more than I have a position of leadership. It's the fact that I have produced as a leader, and I have credibility as a leader. And John, I have something to give you that will empower you and pass it on. So for many, many years, I've always told my key players that when they came on the team, that their job was to work themselves out of their job. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is I'd say, now, Macy, here's how this works. I want you to work yourself out of this job. Now, to do that, first of all, you have to do this job with excellence. So it's not like you just work yourself out of a job first. No, you model what the job looks like. And then the second thing is, then you look for somebody that you can empower, train to take your place. And what I tell people all the time is, if you work yourself out of your job, guess what? I'll give you another job. But if you can't work yourself out of the job, I may take that one away from you. Because the whole goal of empowerment is to have more people have power. And to do that means that you have to give them practice. And so when people say, well, if I want to empower people in leadership, what's kind of the first step? The first step always, John, is to let you practice leadership. And so what I do is I say, okay, I'm going to give you a leadership assignment, Shanita, and I want you to go out and try it. And obviously, in practicing leadership, you do some things well, you do some things not well. But people that empower realize that the only way that you're going to get better is by having practice. Practice makes leaders. And empowerment is allowing people to practice leadership. And you be the guide, the father, the one who helps them to get better. But you got to let them go out and practice that leadership. And the last thought on this is, I love this part of the book. Okay. In fact, I know the person who wrote this. And this is really true. This is, when you think of empowering people and letting them practice leadership, I tell them that you can always tell an empowering leader because that person, he or she, is always dispensable. Mm-hmm. And your goal is always to be dispensable, not indispensable. You know, I have people sometimes, they say, well, John, I couldn't make it without you. And I always think that's kind of funny. I say, oh, yes, you could. You know, I'll die and you'll find out. You can make it without me. I mean, hello, get a life, folks. Everybody, I mean, there's no such thing as indispensable. But here's what's powerful. When I am indispensable, when I can empower you and you can carry on the work, what happens is the work multiplies and gets bigger. Because the work should be bigger than me. It should be better than me. So when I'm dispensable, I almost, in the long run, become indispensable. Because the most important person on your team is the one who makes someone else the most important person on the team. Oh, that was good. You need to write that down. I'll repeat that for you, Minute with Maxwell. People, the most important person on the team is the one who makes other people the most important person on the team. I talk all about this in The Leader's Greatest Return. I'm glad you're with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Oh, more wisdom from John Maxwell on this wonderful Wednesday. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, and you hear me a lot of times say, we're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And certainly my morning show, too, stories that inspire you, where you hear other people doing things that are remarkable. And if they can overcome, and remember, a lot of times I say in my wrap-up song is, we are overcomers, over, under, around, or through. No matter what we're facing, you and I, we are overcomers, right? And so we are better together, and we are, when we know who we are and whose we are, there is nothing that we can't accomplish in our life. And I will never tire of hitting that drum of truth and wisdom. And someone needs to hear that this morning. Someone needs to hear right now that you are important, that you are of value. And no matter what mountain is in front of you, maybe it's unemployment, maybe it's a health diagnosis, maybe it's a broken relationship in your family, maybe it's the fact that you can't even be with family at Christmas. Whatever mountain is in front of you that is consuming you right now, I'm saying, with a mustard seed of faith, and together, knowing that you are not alone, that we can overcome this. And I'm hoping today's show will be a bunch of just ounces and ounces and ounces of encouragement to you and inspiration as well. And I'm so excited, and I'm going to get a chance to introduce her now. We're going to get into it after this break. But I'm so excited to introduce to you my brand new friend, Kathleen Turner, to the show this morning. Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for being here today.
Good morning. Good morning, Stacey Ann. I'm so excited to be here, too.
Well, and friends, I have to tell you, I have to describe verbally because we're on the radio. We're not on TV. This woman is just sunshine coming in. She's got this bright smile, and I came in and had a little bit of a drive here today, and I'm so glad to have you on the show, and I saw you on Facebook. And friends that have been listening to the show know that I find treasure. When I go out, Terry and I go out, we don't go and look for things. We look for treasure in meeting people and hearing their stories. And I saw you share on Facebook in one of the groups that we share because we both are motorcycle enthusiasts.
Yay! Absolutely.
And you ride a motorcycle. What do you ride?
I ride a 2018 Harley-Davidson Softail Slim.
Woohoo! Mm-hmm. And we're going to get more into it after this break. But she was in a motorcycle group, a Pacific Northwest kind of a biker group, sharing a little bit about her story. And it just spoke to me. And I'm like, I need to know about this gal. And I wonder if she'll come on the radio and share with all of you her incredible journey and her incredible story. And you're from Oregon, right? You've lived here for all of your life?
For a good portion of my life. I went to high school in Bend and then college in Portland. And I did move away for graduate school, but then came back.
All right.
After that.
And what is your school training? What did you train for?
So I have kind of an interesting background. I got an MBA and I was a researcher and then became a high school math teacher.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to get more into it after this break, but so excited for you to meet friends, Kathleen, and hear about her journey. We'll be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning. Good morning. 7:22. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. I want to peek here at the weather forecast for today, just in case you're wondering. It's not as froggy or foggy. Kids say froggy, so I still say that, even though they're all grown up and have their own families now. It's 39 degrees, and the sun will peek out a little bit today, partly cloudy sky, up to 51. In the next few days, there'll be rain showers in the weather forecast up through the weekend, it looks like. So temperatures in the 40s, maybe into the 50s. So pretty consistent the next few days, and that's what we have to look forward to. I want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor. If you need evaluation of your insurance, if you need someone to help you come alongside and develop a financial plan, a savings plan, a retirement plan, all of those things, Bill can equip you in those areas. Give him a call, 503-885-0789. In the studio with me today, we're continuing the conversation. I have Kathleen Turner here. And Kathleen, you talked about right before the break that you went to college and you got your MBA and you are a math teacher.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. How did that even happen after all of those years? How did you end up being a math teacher?
Well, what happened is I absolutely love my children. Mm-hmm. And I actually became a single mom when my two youngest were only about three.
Okay.
So this is going to sound crazy, but even though I had an MBA from a top five business school, I decided to become a daycare owner so that I could keep my children with me.
Totally.
And I just loved working with children.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of my clients said to me, you know, Kathleen, you're so good with kids, you should be a teacher.
Aww.
And so when it came time to teach, I thought I absolutely love math. I just adore math. I was a double major in college, math and business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up becoming a math teacher, and it's just one of those things I realized when I was going to school that I was absolutely meant to do.
Incredible. So you have children.
Absolutely.
How many do you have?
I have three children.
Awesome. And how old are they?
My oldest is 25 and the two youngest are 20.
Fantastic. So, yeah. And then you got to raise them up by working at home and working in the daycare and all of those kinds of things. That's incredible.
When my two youngest were in kindergarten, mm-hmm. I started teaching full time and I've been doing that ever since.
Ever since. Mm-hmm. And so you're that one that makes math fun.
Yeah.
Because I know, I joke, I had a double major also in college, social science and human services. And I said, I did the social science part, not the math or the hard science part, you know, and I always have such an appreciation for those that are good with numbers. So good to know you. And so great to have you in the studio. Now, what excited me about your story that I saw on Facebook and how I reached out to you is that you did this grand adventure and decided that you were going to go on a motorcycle trip. I am so intrigued by that as a woman. Mm-hmm. How long have you had your endorsement to ride a motorcycle?
So this is kind of the other crazy thing is I had only had my license for about 2 years last spring.
Okay.
And I had been riding on the bike a fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
I have been going on cross-country trips for the last 6 years on the back of the bike and the summer before on my own for the first time.
Okay.
But I had never gone solo, not even a one-day trip on my own.
Oh, my goodness.
But I didn't want to give up my summer trip.
Right.
And I did not have a riding partner.
Mm-hmm.
And my son and I were on separate sides of the country. He was in Washington, D.C., and I was in Oregon.
Okay.
And neither of us felt very comfortable flying at that time.
Right.
And so I thought, you know, I am going to drive to see my son.
Fantastic. It's amazing what's in a mama's heart, right?
That determination
of what I'm going to do. Awesome.
Well, I think, you know, that's what it came down to is that my love for him was greater than my fear of driving alone.
That's the truth. Yeah. That is the truth. So before you went on your solo trip across the country and all of this, you have been to other places, you said, as a passenger. Where have you been?
So I've actually been to all 48 states on a bike.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm one of these people. I love biking so much. I've never gotten off my bike and said, gee, I wish I'd gone less miles today.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, the last 6 summers, I've gone on cross-country trips. And after, I think, 2 summers or maybe 3, we kind of said, you know, what states have we not been to? And just made it a point to check those off the list.
I just think that's absolutely incredible because if you don't know, if you're not in the motorcycle world, friends, and you don't know a lot about it, there's this thing called the iron butt. And it is exactly what you think it is. And my first experience on the back of the Road King that we had out of Arkansas is we took a ride all the way down to Scott, Louisiana for a Harley Owners Group rally down in Scott, Louisiana. And it was, I think, about 1,600 miles round trip on the back of that Road King. And I have never experienced anything like that. It was an incredible trip. The view, that when you're on a motorcycle and you have the air, and of course, majority of our trip, and I don't necessarily advocate for this, but there are a lot of states that you don't have to wear a helmet. We had our helmet along, but you just let the wind fly in your hair and all of that. And there is some experience, you know, in that. But there are several, you put your helmet on when you do have to have your helmet on. It's an incredible freedom. There's an incredible freedom riding on the back of a motorcycle. But then the iron butt challenge is that pretty soon you just don't feel your bum anymore. and I'd have to kind of tap on Terry's shoulder and go, because we're riding down the road. I'm like, I'm going to have to shift, you know, a little bit just to stay comfortable. And about every 2 hours you stop, get something to eat, go to the bathroom, fill up the bike again and go again. And it was an incredible journey for me. Now, my motorcycle background is when I was 30, we had the big rally in South Dakota. And I said, by the time I'm 50, I figured this out. By the time I'm 50, all my kids will be grown and I want to have a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. I want to have my own motorcycle. I want to have my endorsement by the time I'm 50. I didn't know at like 46 that I would have a man with a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like ahead of the goal here, you know, God totally worked that out. And it's been such an experience and such a journey for me that I've so enjoyed that world, because it's the Harley world and the motorcycle world is a huge family. But there is that support and there are opportunities to go out on your own in the adventure. Now, I've heard groups of guys going out on their own, you know, together, a cross-country tour. I've heard gentlemen going across country with their, like, their dog. There's a guy that does that. And he does a Facebook page and a YouTube video, scooting across America. But you're the first I've ever met a woman who said, I'm going to do this. And that has brought such encouragement to me and such... facing the fear to go meet your son. Where did you guys meet?
So my son, we met in Washington, D.C.
You did. You went all
It's funny what you mentioned about the whole being alone thing, because that was such a big deal on my trip.
Yeah.
The first question people usually ask is, where are you from or where are you going? And then the second question often was, are you really alone? My favorite story about that is I just finished writing Tale of the Dragon, Charahola Skyway, having a great day. Stopped in a Harley dealership, and there was this large group of about 10 bikers, and they were in the store at the same time. They left before me. I came out, and they were all lined up on the porch staring at me.
Oh.
And I said, I thought to myself, are they waiting for me? And one lady stepped forward, and she said, are you traveling alone? And I said, why, yes, I am. And she turned around and nodded her head to the people behind her. They had all been waiting, and I actually asked her later, were you waiting to find that out? And she said, yeah, because she told them, I thought I was alone, and they're like, no way.
How inspiring. So, you inspired that whole group. I know of it. And I think there's always an adventure in that. We'll be
hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. It's 7:35 in the morning. I just got a FaceTime call from my daughter in South Dakota. My granddaughter has a school performance, I guess, for Christmas. At 8:50 our time this morning. It'll be interesting. I don't know how we'll work that out, being on the radio and watching that, but it's just fun. I love technology and how we can stay connected. I've got Kathleen Turner in the studio with me. We're telling her story in this grand adventure she took going across the United States on her motorcycle to go meet her son. And she's got three kids. And you know, as a mom, and certainly I, too, have been a single mom, and I know how important it is to connect with our kids and to be present with them. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing like that drive to see them and do things to be with them and create those memories. And what an amazing thing to meet in Washington, D.C., meet your son in Washington, D.C. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I was so excited about it. It's funny, because when I first told him I'd be coming, I said, honey, I'll probably be there the first week of August, because I left July 1st, and I thought it might take me a month to get him. Mm-hmm. But a couple things happened. Essentially, I ended up doing an Iron Butt ride. You were just mentioning Iron Butt. From San Francisco, I was going to go to Michigan and ended up going to New York instead. Woo. So I got from South Dakota to Niagara Falls in a day and a half.
Wow.
So I was pretty close to him then. And then I had told him I'd come on the weekend, but I couldn't wait. I just couldn't wait to see him. So I ended up coming a little early. I was there, I think, by July 12th or 13th. Mm. So I made it across the country really quickly. But I was just... I hadn't seen him in months. The last time I had seen him, it had been Christmas time a year ago, and I had had cancer and could barely speak. I could not eat or drink at that time. So it had been quite some time since I had seen him, and I was just really...
It was time.
It was time, yeah. And so it was wonderful. We had 4 days in D.C. together, dinner on the rooftop with a beautiful view of the Washington Monument, and just time to talk with him and be with him. And in fact, I just spoke with him last night, and so I was very blessed to be able to see him.
You know, children are like your heart living on the outside of your body. Mm-hmm. There is just nothing like it. Mm-hmm. And when you experience, do you have any grandchildren yet?
Not yet.
When you experience grandchildren, it's even more so. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And so you took this journey. Did your kids, because when I got my endorsement and started riding on my kids just thought I was absolutely crazy. And they were worried about mom. Like, is she in this midlife crisis thing. How were your kids with this adventure going across the country? What were they thinking?
I think they're becoming more and more accepting of it just mm-hmm. because they know how happy it makes me.
That's
I literally
exactly
come
right.
home from riding my bike and I'll just be beaming. Mm-hmm. You know, I absolutely adore riding my bike.
Express to our listeners who maybe they've been on a dirt bike or bicycle, mm-hmm. but they don't understand, what is it about riding a motorcycle freely?
Could go on for hours about this, but I think the easiest way I found to explain it is that you're engaging all five of your senses at once. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you're driving past the coast, you can taste the salt in your mouth. You can hear the waves. You can smell the seaweed. You can see the sand. You can feel the sun on your back. And you're just really engaging in your environment in a way that, for me at least, I don't really feel like I can do in my car.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also just something so freeing about being there with the wind in your face and really no distractions. I mean, you're not having a conversation. No offense, but you're not listening to the radio, at least I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you and the world around you. And so, I got to go to so many beautiful places too. I mean, mm-hmm. there's just something so very inspiring about, for instance, the national parks in our country and just, you know, incredible views. And
so you went through South Dakota, which is where I lived for several years. Did you get to Mount Rushmore then?
You know what's so funny? I love South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my top five
mm-hmm.
favorite states to ride
mm-hmm.
in. I've been to Mount Rushmore multiple times, but I've been to South Dakota every summer for 6 years, and I go for the riding.
I know. Isn't that incredible? So did you make it to Sturgis?
You know, the way I like to say it is I go to Sturgis every year, but mm-hmm. not when everyone else is
That's
there.
Exactly right.
Yep.
That's exactly
yep.
right. In fact, I tell people, if you're planning to be at Sturgis, mm-hmm. go early
yep.
so that you can ride, so it's not bottlenecked. And it would be, and to explain this to our listeners who've not been to South Dakota, the Black Hills is incredible. The Black Hills is a lot like riding to the coast or driving to the coast, you know, with the trees and the windy roads in a mm-hmm. sense. But have you ever been to the coast and everybody decides to go there or come back at the same time and it's like a two-lane highway and you're bottlenecked? Well, during Sturgis, because the whole state of South Dakota has about 800,000 people, but mm-hmm. during Sturgis, like 400, 500, 6,000 people come to this one small town,
right?
And it gets very full. So I tell people to go early, like you said,
exactly.
so you can ride. It's
yes.
beautiful riding.
Oh, yes. I love Custer State Park.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Needles Highway, Iron
yes.
Mountain Road, and then the Wildlife Animal Loop. And
yes.
I do those every year.
Time. And
yep.
I live there and I would go yep. every in my car. I would, mm-hmm. you know, the best experience was on a motorcycle mm-hmm. going through mm-hmm. because they have cut out tunnels, friends,
that
were by
yes,
design
yes.
Many, many, many years ago, cut out tunnels that when you go through them, it mm-hmm. frames Mount Rushmore.
Absolutely.
It's the most incredible experience coming around and you're going through the Needles and then you go through and you're like, boom, there it is, or Iron Mountain mm-hmm. Road. So South Dakota, where else was just epic for you in that way? Is there another national park or another area that really spoke
well,
to you?
Yes, thanks so much for asking. South Dakota is always one of my top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Every year I pick what are the highlights
mm-hmm.
I want to be sure to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Another one for me is Million Dollar Highway. I absolutely love driving that in Colorado. It's
mm-hmm.
between Silverton and Ouray.
Okay.
Beautiful, spectacular mountain views, gorgeous hairpin turns,
mm-hmm.
just wonderful scenery in general. This year I also did Toll of the Dragon, so
oh,
that was really exciting.
And that
yeah.
is located?
It's actually
Tennessee,
starts in North Carolina,
North
and
Carolina.
Then
okay.
and then goes right into Tennessee right
okay,
away.
Like the Smoky
yeah.
Mountain.
Exactly.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
incredible.
Yep.
Have you done the Pig Trail?
I wanted to, but mm-hmm. you know what's so funny? When I made it to Tennessee this
mm-hmm.
summer,
mm-hmm.
there was thunder and lightning and rain scheduled for 10 days. So
mm-hmm.
I had a little gap where I did the tail in mm-hmm. Charahola, but I ended up going west sooner than I had originally intended just because of bad weather. But
incredible.
It's on my list for next year.
Yes,
yeah.
And in the other area yeah. that it's a long ride up north to Laconia, New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Up in that area is
mm-hmm.
beautiful riding Lake Winnipesaukee, which
Ooh.
Is where On Golden Pond
mm-hmm.
was filmed. There's a big rally there every year. And
wow.
So I encourage you to put that on your bucket
Absolutely.
List, too.
Yes.
So you're driving or riding all across America in your town. I know how it is because we've
yeah.
experienced a taste of it. Nothing like you
yeah.
have. Town after town. And,
yes.
And when you get to a town and you're wanting to see the town, what's usually your routine? Do you go to like a local pub or a restaurant? Where do you kind of get intel about
that
area?
It may sound kind of basic, but what I like to to do is look at high five-star places. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean expensive.
Right.
Like, for instance, when I got done with the Charahola Skyway, mm-hmm. there was a five-star rated bakery just a half an hour away. So usually I go to, you know, places that are mm-hmm. fairly low-key, but with good ratings.
That's
so
neat. Yeah. Well, in your pictures, you have a website. I want to tell our friends, you can follow Kathleen and her adventures because she's continuing on. You could go to Kathleen Turner. Now it's T-E-R-N-E-R, KathleenTurner.com. And you can see her website and these wonderful pictures that we're talking about. And we'll put a link on our Facebook page as well. And blogging. And you are actually in the right on the edge of writing a book.
Actually, I just finished my book.
Woo,
yeah. I finished the book and I'm super excited. In fact, I got the signed contract from the publisher last
Fantastic.
Night. This is kind of breaking news mm-hmm. because I signed it myself and I'm putting it in the mail today. So
Yay.
I anticipate the book will be out in a couple months.
Oh, that's yeah. incredible. And so through all of this, not only is she writing and making these plans, she's also in recovery. And next hour, I want to talk a little bit more about your diagnosis and kind of that mm-hmm. part of it, because I think people would be really encouraged mm-hmm. to hear that part of your story. But where do you find the time to write when you're writing and then you're a teacher, right? The
yeah.
pandemic hits and the spring, and it kind of changes how people teach and mm-hmm. stuff. How has that been going for you?
It's actually been going great. You know, I think you find time for things that you love.
Mm.
I love teaching. Mm-hmm. I also do tutoring in the evenings to fund my summer trips.
Fantastic.
So I teach during the day, and then I tutor in the late afternoon, early evenings, mm-hmm. and then typically I'll work on my book after that, but they're all enjoyable activities
yes.
for me. So the teaching's actually going really well. It was a little bit more of an adjustment in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
learning the new technology, different ways of delivering curriculum, and kind of just making adjustments, and there's a little bit of a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, I feel so grateful to still be able to help children with math and to encourage and inspire them and to be able to have a job.
Right.
I'm super grateful to
yes,
have a job.
Yes.
And also just to feel safe, mm-hmm. you know. So I feel like, given the current circumstances, it's the best possible situation.
So you're, what grades are you?
So primarily 9th and 10th graders,
okay.
but some juniors. I teach geometry and advanced algebra. So, you know, every student is just placed according to where the best fit for them is.
And so how, for those of us that don't have students right now mm-hmm. and not involved in all of that, in fact, I thank God every single day that I am not like my daughter that just called. She's working her career and trying to do someone in school and got two little ones at home. I mean, just managing all of that. Now she's married, which is good. But at the time, if I was a single mom with five kids trying to figure all that out, and they're, I don't know if I could have done it. I'm sure I could have, but I have a lot of sympathy and empathy mm-hmm. for those that are doing it. Mm-hmm. So tell us what this is like for these students and for you. Like, are you in a classroom online, a Zoom call, mm-hmm. and you're going through the formulas? How does that work?
Absolutely. Well, I can see it kind of from both ends
mm-hmm.
because, actually from three different angles, because my two younger children are twins
mm-hmm.
and they're sophomores in college and they're doing online learning.
Wow.
So I feel like it's actually educational for me because they'll give me snippets of information about what it's like to be on the student end
right.
of things. And then also as a tutor in the evenings, I'm also interacting with students and their parents
mm-hmm.
about their experience with their teaching at that time.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of my teaching and how it all works, I've chosen to work at school. There's no students there,
mm-hmm.
but I've chosen to work in my classroom just because I do have some specialized math programs on my computer. I also have a huge whiteboard behind me and two computer screens. And so for me, it's
a little
easier.
Normalcy for you and probably your students coming
mm-hmm.
in, like they're in
it
a
really
classroom.
Is.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Having a wonderful conversation today with Kathleen Turner, covering a lot of topics, but mostly her adventurous spirit and how you and I can be encouraged by it. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, 7:50 in the morning. I'm Stacey Ann, encouraging you to get engaged and get involved. There are lots of nonprofit organizations that need our help, particularly our financial contributions, as many of them have been challenged during the pandemic. They've not been able to have their normal fall fundraisers and things that they do to help fund their outreach. And you know, the need has not gone away. In fact, it's increased for many of these organizations, like the Salvation Army. They have their red kettles at many of the locations across, you know, when we go retail shopping. But there are many locations this year, because of COVID, they're not able to have them. So I'm encouraging you to go online and support Salvation Army. They do all kinds of help with people with their rental assistance and energy assistance and food and the toy drive that's coming up. They're looking for some volunteers to help them out with their toy drive on the 12th. I think it's Saturday. And I think Jason still needs some help with some folks. If that's something you can give a few of your hours and help out, certainly they're following all the COVID regulations and being indoors and all of that. But these families, these parents come in and they pick out toys for each of their kids based on their age. And it's really kind of an incredible thing, because it's just like toys aren't just thrown at the parents. Here you go, make do. You know, it's actually the parents can shop according to what maybe their kids would be interested in and things like that. Give Jason a call, 503-798-4876. Continuing the conversation this morning, and it's been a great time, and I'm so thankful, Kathleen, that you took the time to come in this morning. I feel like I'm like a little mouse in your pocket going on these grand adventures, and maybe that's something, and Terry and I have talked about this, that he's often said, oh, I have this dream of just going across the country on this, you know, solo motorcycle ride. And he's done a bit of that. Mm-hmm. When we were in Arkansas, he went down to Florida on his bike to mm-hmm. work a rally. And I wasn't able to go with him. I stayed behind. And normally we will go together mm-hmm. and work at them together. And so he's had a taste of that, but not like all across the whole country. And that's pretty incredible to be inspired to do that. And it was your son that motivated you to go on this mm-hmm. journey. And you've done some traveling, but this by yourself. Oh, my gosh. What is the greatest thing that you learned from that adventure?
Oh, my gosh. It's hard to pick one single thing. But if I had to, actually, my whole book is about what I learned on each segment of the trip. And mm-hmm. it's really kind of cool how it worked out that way. But I'd say on the first segment was probably one of the most powerful things I learned, is I had been so afraid of being alone for so long. Mm-hmm. I stayed in a difficult marriage much longer than I should have. And to be honest, a lot of it was me. I just was afraid of being alone. And then I was also afraid of traveling alone on my mm-hmm. bike. And as I said before, I do think that it was my love for my son that enabled me to overcome that fear, but I was still a little apprehensive. But what I found, even just the first day of the trip, is that even though I was traveling on my own, mm-hmm. I did not feel alone. Mm-hmm. And that may not sound super powerful, but for me, it was extremely liberating mm-hmm. to feel that, okay, I have the ability to go on my own, on my bike, and be deliriously happy. And so, whether or not I'm with somebody. Mm-hmm. And so that was a huge accomplishment for me, and also just very freeing to just know that I can be happy regardless.
Well, and I think this year has been such an interesting year. And I joked early on, in a sense, when the pandemic happened, that people were isolated to their homes, mm-hmm. you know, to break the curve, mm-hmm. do everything we can, because we didn't know a lot in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I said, for the extroverts, this is like time out time. And now we're feeling the anxiety that many introverts feel when they have to go out and socialize. You know, to tell an extrovert to go home and don't have contact with anybody, it's like, oh, it's traumatic. Mm-hmm. And then so there's this empathy, in a sense, mm-hmm. that people understand the conflict, you know, of wanting to do the right thing to keep people healthy. Mm-hmm. And yet some of it is like, okay, we've had enough. And so people are looking for ways to connect. Mm-hmm. And I think this is beautiful. They can live vicariously through you and your adventures on the web and on your Facebook. And you've had some challenges the last couple weeks with your Facebook disappearing or someone hacking it and some other things. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, because actually my birthday was November 18, mm-hmm. and my birthday present to myself was submitting my final manuscript Aww. To the publisher. And so I pushed the send button, and literally less than 24 hours later, my whole entire computer died. It didn't just get sick, it died. You know, we tried resurrecting it every way possible. And then shortly after that, my Facebook account was hacked, and in a very sophisticated manner. I'll never be able to get back. I did try everything with the help of some techie friends. But, you know, one of the things I did learn from my trip was this concept of just not giving up, you know, of overcoming obstacles. Mm-hmm. And also just kind of an inner awareness. This is going to sound kind of corny, but that I'm a stronger person than I thought I was.
Right.
And so, you know, I got a little demoralized when my computer died and my Facebook account was attacked. And I just said to myself, no, this is the new you, you know? You're not the kind of person who's going to let this obstacle stand in your way. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm super excited because I got a new computer that I like even more than the last one. And I got actually a laptop, so now I can take it on the road with me.
Oh, yay, you know? Fantastic.
So it all ended up working out. And with my Facebook account, you know, it's kind of cool. I don't know exactly how it works, but they just seem to know. I kept getting these little reminders, people you may know. And so I think I've got the vast majority of my friends back
good.
At this point. You
good.
Know? So, and fortunately, I had saved all the stuff I had on Facebook, I had put on my website.
Oh, good.
So it all ended up working out.
It's still a little bit of a violation, and you feel like part of you've given so much time and tracked everything and your journey and all of that to have that in that in the moment. A lot of times in Facebook, social media, or writing in the moment, our inspiration in the moment.
Right.
And to know that that's wiped out, I'm glad that you saved it, but it can be quite a challenge. And I've had several people here, for whatever reasons, it's like, boom, they're gone. And everything, they didn't back it up. So I'm so glad to hear that you did. And,
I was very
and you're getting reconnected with everybody. Mm-hmm. And it does make you mindful. You just wonder about the power of social media. It can be a power for good, but boy, we don't always know what's going on behind
Absolutely.
The scenes, do we? And we got to protect those passwords, right?
Oh, yeah. And more than that, I like to joke my current account is safer than Fort Knox.
You know? I love it. I love it. And so I want to encourage you, friends, to go to Kathleen's website. You'll have to take a journey over there because it's incredible. Kathleen Turner, and it's TERNER.com. And you can learn about all of the things that she's involved in her articles. In fact, it says here that you would write Oregon School Boards Association articles, and there's all kinds of things on here.
Well,
right?
They actually wrote an article on me.
On you.
Yeah,
okay.
Because
what
happened last year when I got throat cancer, I lost the ability to speak for several weeks.
Oh, my.
And so I continued to teach with the use of a speech app. At first, I had a wireless mic that would amplify my voice. And then when I could no longer even whisper, I used a speech app and I pre-programmed phrases like who has a question on the homework and who can explain the next step and does that answer your question and so on.
So they showed how you overcame that even. Uh-huh. And oh my goodness, when we get into the next hour, friends, we're going to talk a little bit about her journey. You know that I sit on the board of Kicking Cancer. And so this is an area in my life that I'm really, really interested in helping. We want to eliminate even the thought of cancer. And we're working behind the scenes with Kicking Cancer to make that possible. So I'm excited to hear her story and how she is an overcomer. So continue listening, friends. Here's Mandisa again with our outro for this hour. Remember, over, under, around, or through, you and I were overcomers. And I certainly hope you'll join us next hour as we continue talking with Kathleen. We'll be back after this.
And thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, friends. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio KSLM. Glad to have you along this morning, this wonderful Wednesday. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. Want to remind you, you can follow us along at KSLM Radio on Facebook and our website, kslm.news. The podcast of this broadcast will be up there this afternoon. And you can go and simply what you do is you go to Good Morning Salem and click on that link and then look for today's show dated December 9th. And you can share it on your, grab the link, share it on your Facebook page. Be encouraged, be a source of encouragement to others. And I know I'm certainly encouraged by continuing the conversation this morning with Kathleen. Kathleen has been on this grand adventure this year, going all across America on this motorcycle tour. And of course, it just really resonated with me because I'm a motorcycle enthusiast. I know we've talked about that on the air. Terry works at Salem Harley-Davidson here, and we love helping people build their dreams. And the incredible thing about Harley-Davidson and the Harley-Davidson family and motorcycles is when someone buys a Harley, this is so different because early on when I was younger, when I was in between my college, finishing college and building my family, I worked at a car dealership. Short time before I was expecting my first son. And, you know, it's one thing when someone's going through that process to buy a car because they need it to get to work. And there's a lot of emotions and need, want, you know, of what kind of car and all the bells and whistles and I'm trying to upsell and stuff. It's a whole different experience. Me, I've worked in the credit and finance of a Harley. The stories that I hear about someone buying a Harley, it's because they've been dreaming about it. Mm-hmm. They, you know, Harley people and people in the motorcycle world, when they're selling these bikes, they're dream makers. Mm-hmm. And it is incredible. And there, and when you talk about risk and mitigated risk, mm-hmm. and we've been talking a lot about that this year because of the pandemic and how do we handle this and all of that. We as adults and freedom loving people, liberty loving people, we mitigate risk every single day. Mm-hmm. And so when people say, oh, you're in your 50s and you're riding a motorcycle, mm-hmm. I'm like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I worked hard on my life. There is nothing like getting on the back of that motorcycle mm-hmm. and experiencing that freedom. There's nothing like, for me, when Terry and I can just get on that bike and go mm-hmm. and experience nature and all, like you said, all the senses and all of that last year, last hour you talked about that. And even more so for you, because there's an element to your story that makes mm-hmm. this just incredible. At some point, you were diagnosed with cancer. Talk mm-hmm. to us a little bit about that and how that fits in with your adventurous spirit and riding a motorcycle.
Oh, thanks for asking. Well, actually, it was a little over a year ago this time.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, we had to put our family dog to sleep. And so I brought my children home from college and we were, you know, so to say goodbye to the dog. And my daughter was at the dinner table with me and she said, Mom, do you have a sore throat? And I said, no, why? And she's incredibly observant. And she said, Mom, I can see your lymph nodes from here.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my goodness. And I looked in the mirror and I hadn't really noticed, but they were golf ball sized lymph nodes.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the urgent care and they ruled out mono and strep and mm-hmm. a flu and all that. And then I went to my primary care and she sent me to ENT. And within less than a week, they had determined that I had throat cancer.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so what was their recommendation? And so this was like November-ish, December last year.
I think the date I got the diagnosis was November 6th.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so what was their course of action then?
Yeah, so it's actually pretty brutal. I was thinking about it just recently. It was, I think, worse than I even realized at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're in a very difficult situation, I think, at least in my case, I was focused on making it through the next hour, making it through the next minute. And so looking back now, I realize, I think, even to a greater extent, how hard it was. But basically what I had to do was I had to do 3 rounds of chemo,
mm-hmm.
and then I had to do daily radiation for 7.5 weeks.
Mm.
It would have been 7 weeks, but they had to take a couple days off for Christmas and Martin Luther King Day, so they extended it an extra half a week. But so what I would do is every day go to school and teach, and then I would leave about 10 or 15 minutes early, drive up to OHSU to get radiation, and then come back, tutor, and
wow.
then go back to the school to do grading of tests and lesson plannings, and then didn't get home till around 10 at night.
Incredible. Yeah. And so your effects of the treatment, what was your what were you experiencing?
Yeah, so it's actually pretty significant, but mm-hmm. they are essentially burning the inside and outside of your throat. So it is the equivalent of having a third degree burn mm-hmm. on the inside and outside of your throat. So it becomes very difficult to eat and drink. I did get to a point where I could not do either.
Mm.
And so for example, I had to go to the hospital just to get water inside me.
Wow.
I think I went for 1 week eating less than 1,000 calories for the entire week.
Well, I know, and friends, we're on the radio, so you can't really see this delightful face I'm smiling at. She's maybe, what, 5'3", 5'2"?
5'2", yeah.
Yeah, she's just a little package and such a full, strong spirit, big heart. And so that's pretty significant, not getting 1,000 calories, but 1,000 calories in a whole week. Mm-hmm. And how long did that go through? How many months were you in the middle of that?
You know, the effects are a little bit delayed. So mm-hmm. the first 2 weeks of treatment, I didn't notice anything super significant. But mm-hmm. then, interestingly enough, even after the treatment ended at the end of January, mm-hmm. I would say the worst pain was actually at the beginning of February, and that's quite normal. Mm. So I think that I started speaking again the third week of February or so, mm-hmm. And my treatment started December 2nd.
Wow.
But I essentially did not really eat until I believe it was, in March sometime.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So you've been through it and through that still working. You were still working
yes.
that whole time.
Yes.
And we talked a little bit last hour. There was a point where you had lost your voice mm-hmm. and you had to come up with some creative ways to communicate with mm-hmm. your students. Now, in the middle of all of this, mm-hmm. in your recovery, the pandemic starts, right? And then they start doing school at home about Easter time or whatever. How did that all work out?
Yes. Yeah, so I actually feel, this is going to sound strange, but I feel very blessed mm-hmm. that I was going through my treatments while school was still in session
mm-hmm.
because my students and my colleagues were just so darn supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as I mentioned earlier, I absolutely love what I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I truly, when
yes.
I come to work in the morning, I do not feel like I'm coming to a job.
I love it.
I totally love math and I love helping kids with math.
Mm-hmm.
So my doctor was kind of surprised that I didn't take time off. When they did the articles on me in the spring,
mm-hmm.
One of the reporter looked up, and I think most people do end up taking like 2 months off from work.
Mm-hmm.
I missed, I think it was a total of 6 days during my chemo
Incredible.
And radiation total. So
wow.
over that 2 month time frame, I only missed 6 days. But I asked the doctor, I said, is it damaging to me to speak? And he said, no. I said, what about walking? He said, no, speaking and walking are actually good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, you know, I'd rather be doing something I enjoy mm-hmm. and just distracting myself from the pain
mm-hmm.
than sitting at home and just kind of walking around in circles and staring at the walls.
Right.
So I absolutely love what I do, and I was really glad to keep going. In the beginning, I could kind of whisper, and
mm-hmm.
so the drama department set me up with a wireless mic. I felt like a rock star.
Oh, yes.
Because I had this wireless mic and, you know, the
mm-hmm.
clip to my shirt and my pants, and then this huge speaker in the back of the room.
I love it.
Amplifying my voice. And then when I lost my voice, I set a speech app out on my phone
mm-hmm.
with a Bluetooth device.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned so much technology in the last year. And then I pre-program phases.
I
like,
love it.
You know, do you have a question on the homework? And who can read the question for us? And can you justify your reasoning there? And,
oh,
you know,
good.
Those kinds of things.
So you're able to get it done and still work and facilitate the training and the teaching. That's
Absolutely.
Incredible.
And then I was able to speak again in February. And our last day of school in person was somewhere around March 10th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I was back up and speaking before school let out.
Now,
yeah.
having gone through all of that, do you feel like your voice is restored the way it needed to be? It sounds like you did before and all of that.
My voice is different now. It's a little bit raspier. You can even maybe hear it in me a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
And it does kind of vary. You know, there I actually did go for a follow-up appointment just a few days ago
mm-hmm.
With the doctor at OHSU to ask him about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that it is very common after all the treatment I had on my throat
mm-hmm.
to still have there be a little bit of a little bit of raspiness to my voice.
And you're through all of the treatments now,
yep.
right? And are you having any pain or any residual? And what are they saying now?
No, there's no pain. The only thing is, you know, that your mouth doesn't really produce saliva. So,
mm.
you know, I wear discs in my mouth almost
mm-hmm.
all the time to
mm-hmm.
help with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sugar-free gum. They have xylitol in them, and I wear them at night.
Okay.
And so, you know, but, and I still don't have all my taste back.
Okay.
So I can't taste dry things, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter gave me a bite of ice cream the other night, and she said, can you tell what it is? And I said, I've got this. It's chocolate chip cookie dough. And she's like, Mom, no, it's not. So, anyway.
That would be hard. I love ice cream, and I love all the flavors. That would be a challenge a little
yeah.
bit. But overall, You look like you're doing incredible.
I'm in such a good space. I love life. I love my job. I love riding my bike. I love my children, my faith, my friends.
When we come back from this break, I want to ask you, what is your inspiration and where you're getting your motivation and where you're getting your strength from? I want to dig into that a little bit. And I tell my friends that listen to the show, this show is kind of unique in that there's two things that people are free on my show to talk about, which most people say out in society you don't want to talk about because it's offensive. But when I open up the microphone, people can talk about, their faith, and they can talk about their political thinking if they want or whatever. And so when we get back, I have a few questions because I think our listeners want to know, you walk through incredible experience like walking through a cancer diagnosis and coming through the other end and then taking this grand journey across America and all of that. I know you have some spiritual insight for us, and I definitely want to get to that. And I want to remind our friends too, before we go into this break, there is something pretty significant going on here in Salem and the Willamette Valley. As you know, we last week we suffered an incredible loss here with Selma Pierce passing away, and the Mid-Willamette Valley has United Way has created a special fund. You may or may not have heard of this. Selma devoted much of her life in service to others here in the area, and she embodied the belief that dedicating this area and improving the quality of life is really important. She ran for elected office twice. She didn't win, but she's well known in this community. And the United Way has stepped up and they've created a memorial fund that this fund will go and help others in our community in her name. I can't think of a better way to memorialize her and support the Pierce family by donating to this fund. Go to unitedwaymwv.org/Selma Pierce Fund. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Want to say thank you to my friend Ken. He likes to ride motorcycles as well, and he's enjoying the show, Kathleen, and says he wants to go on a long motorcycle ride across the country. And let's talk a little bit before we get back into your story here. What would you say to that person who's like, I've always thought about riding a motorcycle, but I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should do it. I think my kids will think I'm crazy, at this point in my life. What would you tell them?
Okay, well, first thing I would reassure them is if I can do it, anybody can. Mm-hmm. One of the things I have on my website is a humorous story about how I actually failed my first motorcycle skills test. So I've only had my license a little over 2 years. Mm-hmm. I had been on the back of a bike for 4 years, and I loved it so much. I thought, I want to have the freedom to go when I want to go, even if someone else doesn't want to. Mm-hmm. So I actually took a private lesson, and then I went to the Team Oregon safety class. And did fine during the practice, but had a complete panic attack when the test came because, the instructors there with their clipboard and everyone's staring at you. Mm-hmm. And I literally, my heart started beating and I felt like, I was going outside the lines. Mm-hmm. I didn't break in time. I was riding over the cones instead of around the cones. Mm-hmm. It was pretty hilarious. I didn't give up though. At the end of the test, this sweet guy came to me and said, "Ma'am, it was an honor to take this class with you." And it was so inspiring that he said that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was because he could tell that I loved riding so much, even if I didn't know how to ride yet. Mm-hmm. So I went back and I got 2 more private lessons. And then I went the following weekend and I got the worst possible score you can get to pass, but I passed.
Oh, yay.
And so what I would say is don't be afraid to get out there and try and to get the help you need to make it right. And, after I got my license, I made it a point to have instruction from a more experienced rider and to go at my comfort level and to get the practice I needed to be safe on the bike.
Yes.
So I would say, in fact, that's how I end my book. One of the things I say at the end of the book is that, if you can live your life and not have fear be the thing that keeps you from doing what you really want to do, it opens up so many doors for you. And so to somebody who's maybe hesitant to getting their endorsement because of the fear, take the first step and yes, then the next one.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. And so with that, it's a great segue into how do you fight your fear and what motivates you spiritually? Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, one of the ways I fight fear is to remember times when I've been strong. And then also something that I truly believe with all my heart is that when we are weakest, God is strongest. I think, you know, I was at a low point a year ago. I was going through cancer treatments. My marriage was on the rocks. I ended up getting divorced shortly after my cancer treatments were over. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. And there was just a lot going on, and it was somewhat overwhelming. And there was a point about a year ago where I was so low. My older son took me out to dinner one night and said, "Mom, how are you doing?" And, you know, I said, "Sometimes I wish I just didn't have to wake up in the morning." You just get overwhelmed by life. But I think what happened is my faith was really renewed because the cancer brought clarity to me about the need to make tough choices, to make good decisions for health for me. I have... And I joined two Bible studies shortly after the divorce. And I think the fellowship with other women made a lot of new friends. And of course, I have several really good friends that I've had for many, many years who've always been there for me. And I think just seeing what God did for me despite everything I went through has been very inspiring to me. I didn't feel like somebody who could inspire others last year. I didn't see myself as that kind of a person. But it was funny, just a couple weeks before leaving on my trip, I drove up to the dealership. I had finished riding with one group of people and was coordinating meeting somebody else to go on another ride. I like to ride so much that I typically do like two rides instead of just one. And so this guy came up to me when I was leaving the dealership, and I didn't think he was speaking to me because, you know, I didn't even know him. And he just said, "I just want to say thank you." And I said, "What?" And he said, "My wife saw you drive up on your bike with your touring bags and said, I want to be like that. I want to start riding my bike and I want to get out there." And I think that was one of the first times I realized, you know, I've failed in a lot of ways in my life and I've been through a lot, but that doesn't mean that that's what tomorrow needs to look like.
Right.
And I think that's how God sees us too. You know, he doesn't see the mistakes we've made so much as the character it's developed. And he doesn't see the lack of hope because he knows there is hope. And so I think that the trip was really affirming to me that I'm stronger than I realized and that the amount of joy that I can experience despite the trauma and the difficulties is just, there's no limit to it.
I love it. And do you have a favorite verse?
Well, I have a couple. But one of my very favorites is "My power is perfected in weakness," because that's inspiring to me, that when we are down or when we are not where we want to be, but that is a moment for God to shine. And I feel like that's kind of what I felt like leaving on my trip. It was almost like I was leaving on faith. I knew I loved to ride. I knew I wanted to ride. I wasn't sure I could ride on my own for 8 weeks, literally completely alone for 8 weeks. But God showed up in a big way, just in terms of me feeling joy, me feeling hope, me feeling confident. I did end up, I think I mentioned to you during one of the breaks, you had talked about iron butts earlier. And one of my goals on my trip was to complete an iron butt. And for those who don't know, that's where you go 1,000 miles in less than 24 hours. So I had planned to leave from Custer, South Dakota, and I was just going to go to Michigan, 1,000 miles. But about 400 miles in, I thought, you know, I'm having so much fun and I'm not even feeling tired. I'd rather be in Niagara Falls. So I thought, why don't I go an extra 500? Because they have another, it's not called the iron, but it's called the, I believe it's called the bun burner, when you go 1,500. So I ended up doing that twice, actually, during my trip.
Incredible.
Going 1,500 miles in a day and a half. And you asked, how do you get strength? I think sometimes I look back on that and think, hey, you know, if I can go 1,500 miles in a day and a half, I can figure out what to do when my computer dies.
Such inspiration, you know, and that's exactly, you know, I joke a little bit and I say, I was saying that You know, we think the hokey pokey is what it's all about. No, inspiring stories and knowing that we could do it because we've done it before, right? We've been in hard places.
Yes.
We've gotten out of them. And and I think a lot of times why I'm inspired in reading the Bible is because I see that other people before me have gone through hard times and they've come through the other end. And we need one another. We need to hear each other's stories and testimonies. Mm-hmm. It stirs up the faith and said, wow, she inspires me. I know where I'm at. I'm in a hard place. I can do it too. And that's our word for you today, friends. We're going to continue the conversation after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I've got some exciting news I want to share with you when we get back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. Well, I kind of teased right before the break that I had some exciting news, and I want to share with you, there's something that Terry and I have been planning for about 2 years, and that's an adventure and a sabbatical, and it's a grandiose thing that we have been planning, and even though that there's the pandemic going on and all of these other things going on in the nation, we are about to embark on our own journey, and we'll be gone for a few weeks, and so, friends, I want to just kind of brief you a little bit on the when you tune in the morning and you don't hear me, I will be back, Lord willing, around the 18th of January, but I will be gone over the next few weeks and certainly through the holiday season and on this grand adventure, which I think we'll talk more about when I get back. But this is something that's so exciting, and it's one of those once in a lifetime opportunities. And no, it's not a motorcycle ride across across the United States. Not yet, maybe another time, but it's certainly something that I believe that is inspired, and it's going to be a wonderful time. And so I just want to kind of brief you and let you know that I will be back. That's my plan. And you certainly will be blessed in the morning by listening to Jeff Kropp in the morning. He's going to continue on in the morning, letting us know what's going on locally, statewide, and nationally. So he'll keep you in the loop there. And certainly I'll still have my email, and you can find me on Facebook. In fact, I'd encourage you, good morning, Stacey Ann. You can like my public page on Facebook, and I think we'll probably start doing the journey. And I'm inspired here because I have Kathleen in the studio. And Kathleen, when you did your grandiose journey, you tracked it on Facebook and you did some things journaling. And what kind of advice would you give to Terry and I as we go on this, embark on this experience, which we're really not saying too much about, but just alerting people we're going to be gone for a little bit. How should we track this grand adventure that we're on?
Well, one of my big pieces of advice, in fact, I just met with some friends this weekend who were planning on going on a motorcycle trip, and they had planned out every corner and turn the entire way. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, when I met with them, just encouraged them to sit back and maybe decide on the highlights that you would like on your trip, like what is the most important thing that you would like to do, and your favorites, and then kind of allow it to be a little bit organic to experience it in the moment. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things to do, you asked earlier a question about like when you go to town, how do you get the skinny or whatever.
Yes.
One of the things I do is when I eat at a table, I take out my map, which I have a highlighter where I've shown where I've gone, and I have little like other key things where I'd like to go highlighted. Mm-hmm. And it's a real conversation starter. And I find that you can really learn a lot from the people who live in an area.
Yeah.
And so people will come up to the table and they'll see my map and they'll say, you know, where have you gone or where are you going? And then I'll tell them the direction I'm heading and they're like, oh, well, did you know about this road or this sightseeing opportunity or whatever? So I think that our normal lives are so full of schedules and predictability, and that's very good, and I truly enjoy that. But when I go on vacation, I like to kind of live in the moment.
Yes.
And also just learn from where I'm at.
Yes.
The people and the places, and just you might see a sign for something or overhear a conversation about something or whatever, and feel the freedom to go with that.
I love that because I know when we were evaluating coming to Oregon, knowing that we were going to go on this sabbatical and this journey, I was like, okay, how's this all fit into the plan? And the beautiful part about it is what you just experienced is being organic.
Exactly.
Us coming here, we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know that there was going to be a pandemic, but we knew there were treasure and there was value here, mm-hmm. and that the people that we meet will bring value into our lives and vice mm-hmm. versa, mm-hmm. so that we can expand our influence, right, mm-hmm. and our mm-hmm. legacy, and also learn, continue that Absolutely. Path of learning. And as a teacher, you know how critical that is mm-hmm. in our lives, that we continue to learn. Now, having walked through the cancer diagnosis and the treatment and all of that, there is a point, and I've experienced this. I've not had cancer. I'm thankful for that. But I have fallen down a flight of stairs, and I had major back surgery about 10 years ago. And I didn't know, Kathleen, if I was going to really be, I had paralysis in my left leg and mm-hmm. foot. I didn't know if I would ever be able to go on a roller coaster, ride a motorcycle, mm-hmm. all of those things. And there's something that happens when you're flat on your back and you're in recovery mode and you're like, your mortality, mm-hmm. you realize, okay, what is life about? Mm-hmm. What is my purpose? Mm-hmm. Have I experienced all the things I want to experience? And what if I'm not here anymore? Mm-hmm. What's my legacy? Mm-hmm. And I think all of us have that thing within us that want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. We want to leave a legacy. Mm-hmm. Not like we're not doing it already. I was working in a nonprofit organization. You're a teacher. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. But there's something when you rise back up or have that reset mm-hmm. or that second chance, you can name it whatever, that there's this confidence, this mm-hmm. courage, this boldness. It's like a lioness roars up, right? Mm-hmm. Am I adequately describing what happens mm-hmm. when you go through something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do come out the other side. You know, it's kind of interesting when you said, why are we here? I actually had a student ask me that once. And mm-hmm. at first, I wasn't sure if he was serious or not, because mm-hmm. he said to me, Mrs. Turner, why are we here on Earth? And it was such a profound question at such an unexpected moment. And I wasn't quite sure how to answer. And then I thought, you know, I'm just going to tell him what I really think. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, well, that's a really serious question. But I said, I would say I think we're here to love others and to love our faith. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't necessarily want to go into the details of mm-hmm. that in the classroom. But I said, you know, our faith and loving others. Well, later I found out that he had cancer mm-hmm. and he was on the Make-A-Wish list.
Wow.
And so he was asking me not as a joke, but mm-hmm. really because he wanted to know, why am I here? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I do think that there, for me, I'm so much of who I am is about wanting to love and encourage mm-hmm. others. And I think that I feel very excited that I have an opportunity maybe to encourage and inspire people.
Oh, yeah.
At the time that I was going through so many painful things, the cancer and the divorce and so on, you know, I kind of wondered why. Mm. And one of the things that I'm coming to an understanding of is that I think that if we go through pain and we go through difficulty, it does help us to empathize more mm-hmm. with others mm-hmm. and also to realize to not be prideful, because mm-hmm. we realize that our strength doesn't come from us.
Right.
And so the way I look at it is, if going through all that pain helps me to be in a situation where I can now better empathize with other people and mm-hmm. be more inspiring to others, it will have all been worth it to me.
You find the silver lining, mm-hmm. right? And
yeah.
the good. And, mm-hmm. and I know that difficulty and struggle, there's mm-hmm. there's something sometimes we think in our human experience, that especially people of faith, that, you know, if we line up and we get all the Sunday school stars on our Sunday school chart and everything lines up, and we do, and certainly I can say in my life I've had these thoughts, okay, God, I've been all in for you and I've done everything by the book, mm-hmm. where did this come from? Mm-hmm. And I had this conflict and crisis moment at realizing, and I open up the Word of God, and it says in John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy. But the other part of that is, I've come to give you an abundant life. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is where we're focused. Where are we going to focus?
Yeah, and I think part of it is we can hold ourselves back. Because mm. I think when I was going through all that difficulty, I think that I was looking down on myself, but I don't think that's how God sees us.
Not at all.
And so I think that that was my big gift this summer, is just having a more inner awareness of my own strength and my own confidence mm-hmm. and the joy that I could experience. I think another thing I realize is how much we can grow mm-hmm. from difficulties. And I draw the analogy in my book to, I made a decision to spend a week in Utah when it was over 100 degrees. And I really kind of hesitated at first because I'm not one for high temperatures on the bike. But I was able to see 7 national parks in 7 days. And I fell in love with Zion. And it just was a really good life lesson for me that sometimes when you take on something really difficult, you get a really big blessing out of it.
Yeah, so
I think that chapter is titled Embracing the Heat. And I've kind of carried that over with me even into the distance learning now, for example, as a teacher. There are challenges and difficulties with the distance learning, but when it gets difficult, I just say to myself, Kathleen, embrace the heat. What can you learn from this? How can you become a better teacher through this? And so I've been encouraging myself to learn new things about technology and delivering instructions and making things available online and in different formats.
It kind of reminds me of the story, and maybe you've heard the story, and hopefully I can say it adequately, but they have the two little girls that were told that there was a pony in the room, and they, like, the one room, the girl, there was like a bunch of manure, and there was and she's digging through the with all this manure, I know there's a pony in here somewhere, you know, and just contrasting, looking for the positive in the ick, you know, in the tough things in life. And certainly there's perspective, and when we have a reset or renewing and challenges that we've come through, the it's like, wow, I can pass my motorcycle test, and I'm on my own. I'm out here. I've done it. What else can I do? You know, and all of those life lessons and experiences are opportunities to build on another. And then when we can share our experience with someone else, it makes it worth it.
And sometimes I think it's even more inspiring when you start from not a very strong place. For instance, me failing my test. On my website, one of the things I say on the getting your own endorsement page is, I don't think my motorcycle instructors would have ever guessed that 2 years after failing my first test, I conquered 3 of the most challenging roads in the country. Because this summer I did Tail of the Dragon, Beartooth Highway, Million Dollar Highway, and those are considered to be more challenging roads. They probably didn't see that in me 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, but it just goes to show that really you don't have to be the best at something to get good at it. If you practice and you love it, you can always improve yourself.
Well, and the thing about riding a motorcycle, and one of the things that just came to me when you're talking about that, because a lot of those corners and the way you have to maneuver the motorcycle, it's counterintuitive. It's counterintuitive to how it is on riding a bike to how life is. And this is really good instruction on how to maneuver through life, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yes. We're going to continue the conversation after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Wake up to a brand new day.
This morning.
Stepping on my way.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Want to say thanks to Dave and Paige Smith. They are with Realty One Group Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond for your real estate needs. And so exciting to have Dave and Paige Smith a part of the morning show and sponsoring. And if you're needing any real estate help at all, I encourage you to get a hold of them. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. Continuing the conversation this morning with my new friend, Kathleen. And Kathleen, I'm so excited that you are here with me. And what you're hearing, friends, is a powerful story. And Kathleen, I just had an opportunity to submit your contract for your book of your great adventure. Talk to us a little bit. How did that idea come about on writing a book?
Well, it's kind of exciting. Actually, right before leaving on my trip, one of my colleagues, her name is Tina, said, you know, you should keep a journal because I think this sounds like a book. And at first I was, it kind of like threw me, like I hadn't even thought about it. But then when I did think about it more, I thought, wow, that's a great idea. So I did kind of keep track of my trip as I went along. I had a journal and I also made regular Facebook posts. And about mid-trip, I had by that time several other people say the same thing. So I Googled motorcycle adventure publisher and Road Dog publisher, the publisher that I'm going to be working with, popped right up. And I emailed him, didn't expect to hear back. I mean, when do you expect to hear back? when you right? just email somebody you don't know. But sure enough, he sent me an email and said he'd be happy to read my manuscript. And as I mentioned earlier, I turned in my manuscript on my birthday, November 18, as a birthday gift to myself. And he got back to me within 4 days saying he wanted to publish the book.
Oh, that's incredible.
So, and then we, you know, he's such a nice guy. We're a good fit. We get along. I think we have the same vision. And so we negotiated our contract very quickly, and he signed and I've signed, and I have the papers with me to deliver to the post office today.
And we get to kind of experience that with you, and that excitement and that motivation. Talk to me a little bit about what's next then. Do you have a launch party, or how does that work?
Learning. I'm learning as I go, things I never knew before. But obviously, I'm going to make an announcement on Facebook that, yay, it's official. Yep. You know, he and I have been working together already for several weeks, so it's kind of a seamless transition.
But well, that's incredible that you get a chance to experience this. Is this something like since you were a kid, you wanted to write a book? I mean, is this just something that's just developed?
You know, it's never occurred to me. Nope. But I mean, I love kids. I love teaching. I love my bike, and I love telling people about it. So that part's not new. But I think that it really took, sometimes in life, you'll get a suggestion from somebody and then you hear it and then a light turns on and you're like, wow, that makes sense. But you didn't actually think of it yourself.
Right.
That's what happened in this case. It's just someone made a suggestion and it just seems so right. And I know it's meant to be because the book just literally wrote itself.
I love it. And when you actually get the book, and I encourage you to come back.
I would love
to. Let's talk about that. Maybe we could help be a part of the book signing and all of that. And then what's your next big trip? What are you what are you moving towards in the future? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I do go on a cross-country trip every summer, so I do know I'm going this summer.
Woo-hoo.
Funnily enough, I had so many people tell me, several people last summer, maybe you should stop doing so many interesting things because you're not leaving anything for next summer.
Oh.
But, you know, I said to them, it's like having a piece of chocolate cake with frosting and not eating all of the frosting. I mean, I was on the road. I had my bike, and I wasn't going to turn down any opportunities that I saw. So I have my map for next summer, and I've started highlighting some things, but I'm kind of leaving it open because I feel like things are going to change between now and then. You know, the book will be published. I may end up making some appearances at different dealerships to sign books there.
Yay.
So I'm kind of leaving it open. Interestingly enough, with last summer, I didn't really get into planning for the trip until maybe about 3 weeks before I left.
Okay.
Yeah. I usually just highlight, say, my top 10 or 15 spots.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, make it very organic.
I love it. Well, I think we have a Facebook page for all of our writing and our friends we've met along the way called Your Epic Ride.
Oh,
Your Epic Ride. So I think I'll link this there.
Awesome.
And maybe we can work on getting you places.
Great.
If you know, I can help you find these dealerships and things and connections.
Oh, I would love that.
See the networking happening here. It's
absolutely
so incredible. And if there's a listener out there that is, you know, they have a story and a compelling story, and it's one of their things that's been like, I should write a book. What would you say to them?
I would say it needs to come from the heart. I think part of why everything's kind of fallen into place is this truly is a passion for mine. I'm passionate about writing, but I'm also passionate about encouraging and inspiring other people. And I think that others can see that when you really do feel something with all of your heart, mind, and soul, it comes across. So I would say write about something that's really near and dear to your heart, and then don't give up. I mean, I have had a lot of people say to me, well, it takes, you know, a year to get an agent and 3 years to publish, and there's, you know, everyone writes a book, but no one can publish a book. Follow your heart. And if you feel led to do something, then just keep trying. And then the worst thing that can happen is that it, you know, it doesn't get published, but you don't know until you've tried.
And you learn through the experience of it anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something actually you're kind of speaking to me. I've always wanted to do is write a book. And and for me, I know it'll be a healing process telling my story and some of the things that I've, the highs and lows and ups and downs and twists and turns, kind of like riding a motorcycle, right? What motorcycle tip do you have for somebody? Is there some kind of hack or something inside of going on cross country or just even to the coast? What's something you learned that could be useful to somebody else riding a motorcycle?
Well, one thing I was just thinking when you were talking about the trip is don't shortchange yourself on the amount of time. So for me, I feel like, for instance, for a cross country trip that I want to have at least 6 weeks. And I think that ties in with the whole organic emphasis that I was mentioning earlier, mm-hmm. is that you, part of riding a bike is that it's different from your normal everyday life. Mm-hmm. It's not scheduled. It's right. not routine. It is unpredictable. You don't know what the weather is, what the road conditions are going to be like, mm-hmm. how you're going to feel that day. So I think it really just gives us an opportunity to learn to live for the moment.
In the moment.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What a great mm-hmm. gift that yeah. is. And friends, I want to encourage you that you can follow Kathleen on Facebook, but you can also go to our website, KathleenTurner.com, and that's TERNER.com. And we'll put that link on our show plan as well. And I want to remind you that this will be in a podcast that you can listen to, share the link, and certainly continue to encourage people. And moreover, I think our time over the last couple hours, we really want you to know that no matter what you're facing today, whatever obstacle it is, more than likely it could right be in our own head, in our own fears, to conquer them, to know that you can do it. And certainly find that help in friends. Tell other people about your dream. And you'll probably have the naysayers, but you'll have more saying, you can do this. I believe in you. I'm glad you're doing it because I don't want to do it. You know, those mm-hmm. kinds of things. What any other last minute encouragement?
Well, just another thought that was coming to my mind is it's better to try and fail than to have never tried at all.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not necessarily the case that everything we try to do becomes successful. But as you mentioned, it's always a learning process. Mm-hmm. And we get satisfaction knowing we did our best.
I have enjoyed my time with you this morning. What a blessing you are. True treasure. Thank you for joining us this morning. And again, what was your website?
KathleenTurner.com.
Okay. We can stay connected to Kathleen, watch her future journeys, and put ourselves, get that book in our hands when it comes out to print. Oh, that'll be fun. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you, Stacey.
Have a great day and Merry
you
Christmas.
Too.
All right. Continuing on, friends, we will be here, Lord willing, tomorrow morning. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, you are an overcomer.